Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material condition, and I desire to be liberated from the materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Can you repeat, please? Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material condition. I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Purport. Materialistic life means attachment to the body, everything in relationship to the body. This attachment is based on lusty desires for sense gratification, specifically sexual enjoyment. Kamas tvam tvam rita jnana. When one is too attached to material enjoyment, he is bereft of all knowledge, rita jnana. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, those who are too attached to material enjoyment are mostly inclined to worship the demigods to procure various material opulences. They are especially attached to the worship of the goddess Durga and Lord Shiva because of transcendental couple can offer their devotees all material opulence. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was detached from all material enjoyment. He therefore took shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Narsimhadev and not the feet of any demigod. It is also to be understood that if one really wants to please release from this material world, from the threefold miseries of Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, birth, death, old age and disease, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot get release from the materialistic life. Atheistic men are very much attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, if they get some opportunity to achieve more and more material enjoyment, they take it. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was very careful in this regard. Although born of a materialistic father, because he was a devotee, he had no material desires. Anya bilasita sunyam. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material condition. I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyacha Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So taking permission from all the devotees to say a few words. Vanchakalpatribhishya kripa sindubhya vacha patitonam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is assuming a very, very humble position. The devotees of Krishna are naturally very, very humble. So, although we know that Prahlad Maharaj is a very, very exalted personality, Even the chapter here is entitled Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Still, he is putting himself in a position where he is saying that he is born of a demoniac family. So generally our surroundings, our family, wherever we grow up, have a certain influence on us. If our family are very, very materialistic, then generally that kind of association rubs off on us. This is saying, jaise sang aise rang, or birds of the same feather, they flock together. So Prahlad Maharaj, in one sense, even though he grew up with his family who are very, very materialistic, and his father, the king of the demons, was the most materialistic. In the Shastra, you probably won't find any demon who is more materialistic than Hiranyakashipu. You won't find a demon which is more powerful than Hiranyakashipu. You won't find a particular demon where the Lord more or less took a specific incarnation just to defeat this demon. So Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bed. So here Prabhupada is explaining the materialistic life means attachment to the body. They emphasize everything in the life regarding the body. For them, the body is the all-in-all, is the vehicle for them to enjoy the material life. But even though Prahlad Maharaj could have taken on the great empire of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu very, very much wanted that his son takes the empire. That is the general tendency of a father, that when he has a son, especially in the Indian culture, they want to take over the father's business. So sometimes they have like a sign saying, you know, shoe repairs. And then they'll have afterwards, when they get a son, shoe repairs and sons. Isn't it? So they want that their sons will take over their family business, that they want them to inherit the business so they can carry on. So Hiranyakashipu was very, very hopeful that even though he had few other children, he eyed that Prahlad Maharaj would take over his empire. But as we know, Prahlad Maharaj was not interested in any of these things. And even though his father was offering these things, he was not interested. Yet here it's explained that even the Supreme Lord himself was offering, still then he was not interested. And he was saying that he doesn't want to be tempted by these kinds of offers. It is very, very easy that when somebody offers you things, if somebody gives you things, if somebody tempts you into something, it's so easy to be tempted by the material thing or that object or whatever it may be. So here Prahlad Maharaj is asking the Lord, please do not tempt him. Please do not give him these benedictions. By nature, the devotee doesn't really want anything for himself. His only desire is to try and satisfy the Lord. And if he does have some kind of opulence, if he does have some kind of position, he uses that in the service of the Lord. It is not that we are against material things. It is not that we are against opulence. There's one famous picture of one Swami in India many, many years ago. And this Swami was offered loads and loads of money. There's a picture of him. Somebody was offering loads of money. Here, take. And the Swamiji was saying, nahi, nahi, na, 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 na. He didn't want it. And then the papers, just see how renounced the Swami is. He's not taking the money. And then when they showed this to Srila Prabhupada, he said, that is simply bogus. He said, If they offer it to me, I will take it with full arms, but I will use it in the service of Krishna. So that is how the devotee sees that. That Lakshmi is there, opulence is there, stri, but it is to be used in the service of Vishnu. Just like Hanuman, when he united Lakshmi with Ram. So that is the mentality of the devotees. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that generally the material condition of life, they just want to try and enjoy life. And specifically, they want to bombard their senses. Whatever we see in this world, whatever we hear, whatever our senses feel, the main goal of the materialistic society is to try and enjoy our senses to its optimum. And that is the process of what the materialistic live by. Drink, be merry, enjoy, for tomorrow you will die. So that is their kind of thinking. But actually Prabhupada points out that this materialistic way of life is actually very, very frustrating, and it's very, very limited to the amount of enjoyment we can get. No matter how much hard we try to bash our senses, to try and enjoy something, no matter how hard we try, ultimately we will always be frustrated. Because the very nature of material life, the very nature of our senses, the very nature of trying to enjoy separate from God will ultimately cause frustration, no matter what kind of position you may be in. And the things that the materialistic people are always so worried about, as explained here, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, these things are forced upon us. Nobody wants to die. Does anybody want to die? Nobody. Everybody wants to live eternal, because that's our constitutional position. We are eternal. So sometimes devotees, they are described as very morbid person. They always talk about death, death, death. And especially in the West, whenever someone is dying or when someone is dead, they immediately cover it up. They don't like to see anyone in a suffering state. They don't like to see any kind of dead bodies or anything like that. And sometimes when people see these things, they become really shocked. But in India, you get the full glory, the full description of what the material world is really like. There's nothing, no one is hiding anything there. In fact, every other day there's some parade with some guy dying and going down, getting burnt or whatever. So there's no illusion that materialistic world has nothing but to offer but suffering. So this birth, Krishna says, one who has taken birth, death is certain. And once death is certain, then birth is there. But birth is a very, very horrible experience. Although we might not remember that experience, although we don't recall, but it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are cramped really, really tight in this sack. And then we're kind of practically half covered in fluid, and there's worms and they're biting us. And this one sage, he knew the suffering that was there in this birth. So he thought, why should we have to suffer like this? Why should the society have to suffer? So he decided that instead of having birth, instead of going through the normal channels, he thought we can just grow the kids on the tree. So by his mystic power, he thought that, okay, here we go, that's the way it is. If you want a child, just go and pick one. There's this one over here, there's that one over there, and that's how you can go and just get your child. But lo and behold, it didn't happen. It didn't manifest. It wasn't possible. So even though he's a great yogi, it wasn't possible. And the other one is mrityu, death. Prahlad Maharaj's father He was the person who was trying to conquer death. The first thing Brahma said to him, "What do you want?" He said, "I don't want to drop dead." So again here, the materialistic persons, they are trying to conquer death. This one famous story in Bengal, there was one particular actor, and he was Mr. Nobody, but somehow or another, due to his karma, he made a big break, and he started becoming very, very famous. And due to his famousness, then what naturally happens after that? You try to enjoy the material world. Wealth came his way, opulence came his way, fame came his way, and then he started to enjoy and he started plaster his senses. And one of the things Bengalis like, they like to drink a lot. So this one was drinking and drinking a lot. Then at one point his family member says, "You have to calm down, you're drinking way too much. You're going to murder your liver." So then he started feeling, after drinking so much, after many, many years, he started to feel that effects of drinking. So then he was told by the family, "You should go and see this physician who will try and help you." So the physician took his pulse reading and he said to him that you have abused your body so much that you only have 10 minutes to live. 10 minutes. And that person started freaking out. 10 minutes. Then he started asking the doctor, "Please make me live a little bit longer. I don't want to die." He started crying and he started asking, "I got so much money, wealth, I'll give you whatever you want." And he started saying, "Please, please save me, save me." And as he was talking and trying to argue with the doctor said, "There's nothing I can do. You've completely ruined your body by drinking so much." And as he was like talking with the doctor, boom, his 10 minutes were up. He died on the spot. True story. It was in the newspaper. So when it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. No matter what you have, no matter what kind of person you are, as we see in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he tried to evade death. "I don't want to be killed during the day or during the night." But how did the Lord overcome that? Twilight. It's neither day nor night. He tried to avoid death. He thought, "I'll be very smart. I won't be killed inside or outside." But no one is smarter than the Lord. Killed him in between. So in this way, he tried so many different ways to see if he can outdo death. But no matter how hard we try, Janma is forced upon us. Mrityu is forced upon us. There's nothing we can do about it. Once we've taken birth, it is guaranteed. When Vasudev was trying to save his wife, when Kamsa was just about to kill his sister on her wedding day, he said, "Why are you so afraid of death? Do you not realize the very moment you have taken birth, death is sitting on your shoulder? It is only a matter of time. So do not be so alarmed." Then there is the Jara. This is the one I'm fearing the most, is Jara. It's a very, very, very difficult death. But Jara is a tough one. And now I'm coming to that threshold of my life where I'm finished my kind of, you know, youth kind of activities. Now I'm coming. When you kind of get after 50, isn't it? Who's more than 50 here? Prabhuji, you probably vouch for me. After 50, you start to feel it. Your eyes start to go, you start to wear glasses, your teeth start to fall off one by one, your hearing aid goes, you need one of those things. Yeah, Prabhu, what? What time is Prashad? We might laugh about it, but it's a very, very horrible situation. And the worst thing about it is that you become very, very restricted in your movements. But yet the mind is like, wants to do this, wants to do the next thing. But the body can't move. The mind wants to go there. The mind wants to go there. I still can do this. But still, even though the mind is trying to do it, the body can't go anywhere. So old age, and then once you see, it is explained in the Shastra, if you see your vision going, your body starting getting old, then that's a knock on your door. It is time, very, very close, it is approaching. So that's disease, and there's so many diseases out there in the world. Cancer is taking so many people's life. No matter how hard they try to overcome it. Yesterday I was reading, then people were saying we're very, very proud that now people are living more and more up to 100 years. And I think once they told this to Srila Prabhupada, he said now people are living longer. Then Prabhupada said, but death is still 100%. You cannot reduce that. That will always be there, 100%. And then, so these are the things, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. So over the period of human evolution, we have tried so many different ways to try and avoid these things. But actually, the reality is we have to accept it. The only way to avoid these things, the only way possible is to surrender to Krishna. Once when Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, and then there was one guest, and this guest, he had just opened some kind of hospital, and they were helping people who were blind. And then they were saying, oh, we've done this, we've done that, we're helping people. Then Prabhupada was explaining, yes, they might able to see, they might able to live a little bit longer, but if they just go back to their old ways, what is the point in that? He said, real welfare work is to try and help the soul, is to try and help them understand that actually we need to surrender to God to be really free from these diseases that we inflicted upon. If we really want to be free, then we have to surrender to Krishna. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you surrender to me, then you don't have to take birth. So that is Krishna telling us. One devotee was telling me, I want to try and really become Krishna conscious. I don't want to take birth again. Then I said, why don't you want to take birth again? We were just having a discussion. Oh, the thought of going back to school really freaks me out. I don't want to go back to school, study again, go over there. Just the very thought of going back to school, I don't want to take birth. And then there was one Srila Prabhupada. He was driving in New York, and he was with some of his disciples at the back. And one disciple, he started crying. He was looking at the people and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I want the benediction that I want to take birth again and try and help the suffering condition. And the Prabhupada said, no, you should ask the benediction that you don't take birth again in this material world. And Prabhupada said that we have to try and not come back in this material world. So at this point in Kali Yuga, there's still some resemblance of some so-called sanity, some kind of order, some kind of government, but we're only at the tip of the iceberg. As Kali Yuga progresses, it becomes more and more degraded. So if we don't use this human form of life to surrender like Prahlad Maharaj, then imagine if you take birth in a situation where Kali Yuga has degenerated into madness. There's no law and order. It is explained that down the road, people will actually hunt devotees for pleasure. What are you doing today? Oh, today we're going to hunt those Hare Krishnas, you know. That's like a sport. So we are so fortunate that we have come in contact with this Krishna consciousness. And sometimes, including myself, in fact, I'm the first person who can all point fingers. We just take it just for granted what is given to us. And sometimes we just kind of don't realize the wealth of knowledge. We don't realize this golden opportunity. And sometimes we just waste it just by either socializing, making it into a little kind of a club, or just seeing it and just like maybe just arguing with each other or things like that. And we miss the real opportunity. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, please, my dear Lord, do not tempt me with these kind of benedictions. We've all kind of, you know, at least myself, you know, we sometimes always wishfully thinking or dream. You know, we go into like dreamland and think, I wish I had this. You know, there used to be this bottle where the genie would give you 3 wishes. And then in your mind you think, oh, if I had those 3 wishes, imagine I'll do this and I'll do that. I could have had this. But realistically speaking, even though benedictions are given to you, really, they're actually a contra effect on you. Especially with these benedictions which are given by the demigods. So by nature we want things. Life is like that. We want things. So then we try and gain these things through different ways. And some people gain these things through worshipping the demigods. And by worshipping the demigods, we might get certain materialistic things. But ultimately, these things that we get from the demigods are not really beneficiary for us. We know the famous story of Vrikasura. He wanted a lot of power. So he sacrificed his own flesh to try and satisfy and appease Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh, one who's very easily pleased. So he tried to satisfy Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva was satisfied and he said, what do you want? And he said that I want the power that in this hand, whosoever head I touch, it will explode. And then Lord Shiva gave him that benediction. And then he had so much power, what did he do? He turned against his master. So the master gives him this power, then he turns against his master. He wants to enjoy his master's wife. So then he chases Lord Shiva to try and kill him. But Lord Vishnu, in the form of a Brahmachari, saved him. And there's so many stories in the Shastra that explain that when the demigods, they give you these benedictions, ultimately they don't prove of any use. In fact, they only just make the situation worse. So here Prabhupada writes, therefore, if they get some opportunity to achieve more and more material achievement, they take it. But Prahlad Maharaj, however, was very, very careful in this regard, that even though he was in a situation to get a lot of materialistic things, he actually didn't want it. So that is, I generally find that the best optimum happiness is to have less in your life. The least amount of possessions you have, the least amount of things, then the more happy you are. There was one devotee and he was living quite simple, and then he inherited a lot of money from his family. And then from that, he bought many, he had a house here, he had a house there, he had a house. And then afterwards, I saw he was in so much anxiety. Whereas before, when he didn't inherit this money, he was so much simpler, he was so much calmer. But now with so much properties, he's always in anxiety about this, that, and the next thing. So naturally, the more things we have, the much more anxiety we will be in. Not saying that we shouldn't have certain basic needs in life. Of course, we have to cover that. But the general principle is the more we accumulate, the more we have, the more we try and hanker and satisfy our needs, the more suffering there will be. So the least amount we have, the happier we'll be in life. So we see how that even the six Goswamis, they came from very rich background. Still, they renounced everything and they lived very simply, living under the tree. And they surrendered everything to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Lord Krishna. So that is the general mentality of the devotee, that if we can learn from this particular verse that we should mumukshu, is it mumukshu? We should learn to be liberated. And the best way to be liberated is to be connected with God. And as explains later on, the best way is Sharvanam Kirtanam Vishnu. These are the different processes which is explained there in the Shastra of how we can free ourselves from this bondage. We can free ourselves from this materialistic way of life. And it's very simple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada said to his disciples, Krishna consciousness sometimes is so simple, you'll miss the point. It's so simple, you'll miss the point. And that used to be the slogan in the early days, chanting, dancing and feasting. That's the way we used to live our life. Just chanting, going on Harinam, taking Krishna Prasadam, and simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this golden opportunity which is given to us by taking shelter of this holy name, by chanting, we can actually awaken the dormant love of God that is sitting there in our heart. Why? Because this name is no different than God. Sometimes we think that we just want to see God, but actually there's other ways we can associate with God. God's name, His rupa, His form are all absolute. And this Maha Mantra, Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtan, that this transcendental sound vibration has come all the way from Goloka. And when chanted, it has a wonderful effect if we chant it in the right way, if we chant it in the right consciousness. So sometimes we think, why is it that even though I've been chanting for so many years, I've been chanting, why I'm not getting any ruchi, why I'm not getting any taste? But like with anything else, we have to learn how to safeguard our chanting. We have to learn how we conduct our spiritual life. On the one hand, it's very simple, as I said, but on the other hand, it's also like a razor's edge. So any moment we may be tempted, any moment the mind is distracted. Everyone knows how easy the mind is distracted. But if we learn how to try and focus, then it's possible. We see even in this lifetime, so many devotees, just through this process of chanting, have become liberated and attained the highest perfection in their life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada was once asked that, can you see God? This is always one of the main questions the reporters always ask. Can you see God? Then Prabhupada said, yes, I see God. And then the reporter says, can you show me God? He said, yes, I can show you, but you have to follow this process. So if you follow the process, then at one point, when we become pure enough, you'll be liberated. Even in this very lifetime, the opportunity will come when Krishna will be there. You will see him face to face. To another devotee who was distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and he said to him that if you distribute in this way, one day when you turn around, you will see Lord Chaitanya and you'll see Lord Nityananda. There's so many devotees who've had experience in their life that they felt the presence of God, they felt the presence of Krishna, they felt that this process, especially in the chanting, when you give yourself to it, you actually become completely immersed in total spiritual bliss. So we should take a lesson from Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada explains, he's a Nitya Siddha. There's two devotees. There's a Nitya Siddha who's liberated eternally. So they come in the material world and they show example. Acharya means one who shows example. So they teach us. There's no really need for them because they're on the Uttama Adhikari. They see that everyone is already liberated. But for the purpose of the suffering conditioned soul, they come and they preach. Srila Prabhupada once told his disciple, you do not know how much happiness I was having when I was sitting at the Radha Damodar temple, chanting and immersed and looking at the samadhis there of the Goswamis. But because he wanted to spread this Krishna consciousness, he gave up his personal enjoyment. He left that comfort and he went out. And through all odds, everyone knows. Why? Because he really, really wanted to try and help the conditioned souls who are suffering. If you read some of his realizations on the boat, they're very, very profound. They're very, very deep. I don't know if anyone's actually taken time to read them. And they're very, very intimate how he's actually speaking with Krishna. And there his main concern is that he just wanted to try and help the conditioned souls. Okay, so the conclusion here is that even though many of our backgrounds are not particularly good, but we are very fortunate we have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada and this Krishna consciousness. Once one devotee was telling Srila Prabhupada that if he studied the books, it says there that it's only after many, many pious activities that one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness. And the devotee was saying, but we come from a demoniac family. We come from a situation where most of us are atheists. So where is the piety in our family? And Prabhupada said, I created your piety. So in this way, even though we come from a background which might be materialistic, still, if we take the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, if we surrender to Krishna, then we will not have to suffer janma, mrityu, jara and vyadi. And even when we are in that situation, if we are suffering, then we will not be affected by the body. When Srila Prabhupada was here in 1977, when the devotees greeted him, he had to be taken to the Watford Hospital for some minor operation. So when Srila Prabhupada was taken to Watford Hospital, the doctor gave him, what's that thing called? Injection, so that he wouldn't feel the pain. And then while the operation was going on, Tamal Krishna Maharaj noticed that even though that injection was given to him, he was still chanting. So normally, I've had an operation and I was kind of completely knocked out. They tell you to count 10, 9, 8. I was out by 7. But Srila Prabhupada was completely conscious of his surroundings. So even though they gave him this injection, he was still conscious and he was aware of his surroundings. He was remembering, chanting. So in this way, even though we might be in this kind of suffering situation, we shouldn't be disturbed about it. These things will always come. Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita, Matras Parastu Kunteya, this happiness, distress, they're there. Our goal isn't to try and eradicate them. They will come, they will go. Our goal is to try and serve Krishna, and whatever Krishna sees fit, then we will be happy in that situation. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Any comments, queries?